worship for a while, okay? Praise God. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad we came. And I'm sure you're glad we did too. I'll sing a few songs. A few of them might not be strange, a few might be. But you are worshippers. You should be able to have a posture that allows you to capture God, right?
Open my eyes to see your face. Open my heart to know you more. I want to let go. Until I see your face, I want to know you more. Until I am like you, open my eyes to see your face, open my heart to know. Relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more. Until I am like you, I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more. Until I am like you, I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more. Until I am, I won't relent, I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more. Until I won't relent, oh God, I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know. Until, try it from the top, open my eyes. Open my eyes to see your face. Open my heart. Open my heart to know you more. I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more. Open my eyes, come on. Open my eyes to see your face. Open my heart to know you more. I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. Your face, I want to know. Until I am like you, I won't relent, oh God, I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more. Until I am like you, until I am like you, until I am like you, Lord, until I am like you, until I am like you, until I am like you, until I am like you. and I won't relent, oh God, until I see your face. I want to know you more until I am like you.
Lord, that's our cry today. That's our cry today. That's our cry today. That's our cry.
I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you, hear your voice, know you more, I want to touch you, Lord, see your face, to see your, know you more. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know, hear your voice. Know you more. Say, I want to touch you, Lord. To touch, see your face. Know you more, to know you more. Say it again, I want to know you, Lord. To know you, hear your voice. Know you more, want to know you more. I want to touch you, Lord. To see your face, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Yeah. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Say to him, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Hey, I want to know you more. Hey, andalalandiadabaganeta. I want to know you more. Hey, it's a cry of my heart to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
Lift up your voice and say,
I want to know you more. Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to know you more.
Lord, we bless you today. Would you open our eyes to truth and help our hearts to understand it? Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, and all the people say, amen. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Praise God. There's so much rumbling in my heart, I really don't know where to start. But I trust God that in the next minutes, 30 plus X minutes, we will capture the heart of what God is saying to us, especially understanding that most of you are singers. I tell everybody who cares to know that I'm not a good singer. Yesterday I was almost feeling embarrassed when some of you sang, and I told myself they brought me from Zaria to embarrass me so that they can tell everybody that I don't know how to sing. Hallelujah. But I came in here and I was telling your music directors this morning that I was blessed with what I found. I liked you guys. I liked the fact that you were always reaching to the heart of God. Hallelujah. You're the Lion and the Lamb, the Word of the Father, forever you remain. The same, you're the Lion and the Lamb, the Word of the Father, forever you remain. The same, the Lion and the Lamb, the Word of the Father, forever you remain. The same, the Lion and the Lamb, you're the Word of the Father, forever you remain. The same. Can you sing that with me? You're the Lion and the Lamb, the Word of the Father, forever you remain. The same, you're the Lion and the Lamb, the Word of the Father, forever you remain. The same, forever you remain. Forever you remain the same.
The same.
Forever you remain.
Forever you remain
the same.
The same.
Forever you remain.
Forever you remain the same.
You see, many of the songs are born out of an experience. They're not songs you sit down to write. It's about the latest we have in our church. One of my sons just went to worship and he started singing the song. He told me, he said he didn't need composure. He just came out of the overflow. And most of the songs you hear us sing are songs that come out of the overflow. And I realized that the depth of worship is hardly reached by composure. I'll talk to you about both of them. You're musicians. I'll touch that aspect, all right? I realized that many of the times I've had to hit his depth, it didn't come by composure. Now, there's nothing wrong with composing a good piece of music. Nothing wrong with composing a good piece of music. But many times when what your heart is in is worship, what happens to you is that you realize that it is God who supplies the words that are adequate to worship. Because there's nothing within the confines of human understanding that can capture it. And because it is so, it's very important that as worshipers, we flow into that realm freely and live in that realm consistently. So that worship for us, like you have always heard, would not be when we stand to sing a song. Worship for us would be a lifestyle, a posture, a place. A place that we are in perpetually. Not a place we come into and go out of. You know, one evening in my house, some 4 years ago, the girl who gave me my most popular name, Dado. Everybody in Zaria calls me Dado. Even the people I don't daddy. No, she came out of a worship experience. She had just gone to pray, and she was going through a lot that time. And so I asked her to come to the house, and she laid down on the couch. Then she started singing a few lines. Just, I love you now. I love you tomorrow. I love you forever. I love you, Lord. I love you now. I love you tomorrow. I love you forever. I love you, Lord. We're going to sleep with my wife, but when she started singing that song, I knew it came from something. So I popped out of my bed and I said, "Who sang that song?" And she laughed. She said, "Yesterday I went to pray. And out of the overflow of the burdens that were in my heart, I found the position my spirit was in. And it began to sing this song." So I sat down with her that night. And then I told her, I said, "There are words in my spirit. So let's give shape to the work." That's not a song I'm taking to the studio. So we sat down that night. And almost naturally, I just looked at her and I started saying, "There's no place I'd rather be but with you. You're everything I ever truly need. Lord, my life, my all I give to you. I can't live a day without you. And as the deer pants for the waters, my soul thirsts for you. In a dry and weary land where there's no springs. 'Cause I love you now. I love you now. I love you tomorrow. I love you forever. I'm taking the time to share the experiences with you because I realize that the time might not even allow us to teach you the principles. One evening we were worshiping in church. The presence of God had come down so strong. There was no more song to sing. That's the day I understood what the writer meant, what my red man meant when he said, when the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I have to bring you something that is more than a song. Because a song in itself is not what you desire. You search much deeper. And through the way things appear,
You're looking into my heart. I mean, we had come to that point that night. Church was scattered. It was like 2.5 years ago. And everybody had taken a posture with God. And I laid down on the ground. So I started hearing voices from afar. I then knew that angels had taken over the worship. I knew it was an angelic atmosphere. They're taking over the atmosphere, the worship. So I started hearing from afar. One of the songs we sang yesterday. B'shem Adonai El Shaddai Rabboni. B'shem Adonai El Shaddai El Elyon. Rabboni. Lying down on the ground there, I just put the mic to my mouth and I started to sing it consistently. And obviously the Spirit of God was upon Shegun that night. Shem was on the keyboard. And as I sang it, he got the progression. He didn't need to play. That was the same way. We just came for a service and we're praying the Holy Ghost. He sat down on the keyboard. I miss that guy. And then he was praying in the Holy Ghost and then he started playing the progression. When I came and I took the mic, I was going to say in Jesus' name. Then I heard myself say, we bless you, Lord, you are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord, you are holy. But because there was an atmosphere of awe. Now, that will help me start teaching you today what I want to teach you. Because you see, it's important that you know as a worshiper that you were not first a worship leader, you are first a worshiper. God can never take the people to a place he has not taken you to. That's your assignment as a worship leader. That your experience with God must be deep enough for you to compel another to come. There's a grace I see every time I have the opportunity to lead people to worship. That even people who do not want to worship find themselves compelled. The reason is because there's a depth you can be coming from that will command the depth of another. Have you ever heard scripture saying, as deep calls to deep as the roar of the mighty water? So you see, you can do your jamboree and do all of your shout. And I need you to understand this. That because we are dealing with music, you must understand that music is very slippery. Have you ever seen a Michael Jackson concert? You have ever seen a Michael Jackson concert? And some of you are very born again. You don't watch Michael Jackson, I understand. It's alright, it's a good part of your consecration. I don't think I have time for Michael Jackson. I was telling them, I said I consecrated myself to God and godly music only from 1994. secondary school, I got up one day, was one scripture I read, can sweet water and bitter waters flow out of the same fountain? When I saw it, I knew exactly what the Spirit of God was saying. A few days later, he opened my eyes to Daniel 3. And when you shall hear the sound of the flute, the lyre, the harp, and the zither, and all kinds of music, then you shall fall down and worship the God that Nebuchadnezzar had made. Then I actually realized that every sound of music compels worship. When I got up from there, I actually realized that my response to every kind of music was a kind of worship to the God to which the music was dedicated. So I entered my room, broke all my tapes. Back then it was tape. You know that tape that I used to roll with Biro? I broke all of my tapes. CDs were not common then. Broke all of my secular tapes. Got back home, broke everything that was left. From that day till today, I've not owned anything secular. Everything I know about secular music, I either sat down in front of a TV somewhere, maybe waiting for something, and then it flashed past. Satan does not need that much attention. But I've seen Michael Jackson concerts before, because I live in the real world. Oh no. They are tempting me to teach infiltrate. That's not my subject this morning. Have you ever heard the song? Fires don't work out, we still they carry go. Nobody work out, nobody go solo. You know that song? Ha, let me see. Ha, there's the one that my wife hates because of how much she loved it. Because of her consecration, she just hated the song. My sweet banana, I wanna tell you my mind, I wanna tell you my mind, no. You don't declare so. Have my version of the song. My wife said, what kind of demonic influence is this? That once you just hear the song, you want to dance. Come on, gay, don't make me fall in love. Some of you don't live in the real world. Kai. There are too many streams flowing into me. I'm just trusting God to know which stream to let out to you. And I've started letting out one stream. Now another stream is pushing his head. Let's go back to our first stream, please. Great consecration. I said to you, music is sleeping. That's where the second stream wanted to enter from. You see, because it's music, if you have good harmony and a good voice, anybody can sit down and cry. It doesn't mean God came. Many times, worshippers wait to find the effect of their worship by the response of the people. And any good piece of music can do it. Michael Jackson was preparing for his last concert. I was privileged to watch that concert just last week, flipping through the channels on my TV, and I got to two. And then I saw that they were showing This Is It, the concert that he was supposed to do the day before he died. And I turned to the guys who were in the house and I said, do you know what this story tells me? It reminds me of Jesus' parable of the man who had reaped and sown and plenty things, you know. He said, Kai, these bands are too small. Break them down. Build bigger bands. Then as soon as he built bigger bands, he said, now, my soul, you can rest. Eat what you like. You are all right. God looked at him and said, you fool. Tonight, your soul is required. That was the story for me. Satan is a wicked Satan. Don't ever love him. Ludovandros was 49. A night before he was to receive a Grammy Award, he was found dead mysteriously. Michael Jackson was 49. A night before his biggest concert ever, This Is It, he was found dead mysteriously. Whitney Houston was 49. a night before Grammy. She had already arrived in New York. She had checked into a hotel room. She died there. Mysteriously. See, it doesn't pay to serve Satan. I can't give Satan my life for free. I can't give him my life for anything. Music is slippery. I mean, one day we're in Lagos. I won't call his name so that you won't stop listening to his music. And I went for camp meeting. I was going to preach. I wasn't even going to sing. The last night normally was a concert. Now we're still there. One of your popular musicians in Nigeria came up and started singing, "Jesus, you're a miracle to me. How can I forget your name? Jesus." As at this point, my hand was already going up. "Miracle to me. How can I forget your name?" Then while we were waiting for the next, he said, "There can be miracles when you believe." Glory, hallelujah. Everything about me cringed and shrank inside. Then I told myself, I said, "This is the spirit of God according to Mariah Carey, Celine Dion." The Holy Ghost didn't find any believer to write this song for worship. That day all the believers had gone on break. So he decided to visit Celine Dion and give us a new worship song. "There can be miracles." What's wrong with the words? What's wrong with the words of that song? Yeah. So let me ask you another question. What was wrong with the words that the girl who was possessed with evil spirits and was following Paul was saying? These are men of God, servants of God, sent forth to show us the way of salvation. Anybody could have thought that is their entrance, man. The biggest broker in the town, even the biggest witch in the town, is following them behind and saying, "These are men of God." Sorry, what she said, was it true or false? So, what did Paul address? The spirit. The church for a donkey number of years. Follow me. I'm not sure how slippery the ground you are standing on is. Because if we can consecrate, you today and set you apart, then we're sure that every time you lift up your hands to lead the people in worship, the spirit that will flow in their midst is the very spirit of God. See, I tell people that when the Spirit of God comes on the wings of worship, he does not need help. How many of you know that worship has changed for many of us things that a donkey sermons cannot touch? Some of us struggled with habits. People preached it. We felt guilty. We knelt down many times. We said, "God, take it away." It just didn't happen until one day we stepped into his presence. Because naturally, his presence burns out everything that does not look like it. I told you, his glory doesn't come for a feeling. It comes for a change. For donkey number of years, the church was trying to identify the spirit of Antichrist, and they were using the scripture in Matthew 24, and it was Jesus himself who said it. He said, "Many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they shall deceive many." They shall do what? I want you to throw the word at me. They shall do what? They shall do what? Hold on. And so the church was waiting for somebody to come and say, "I am the Christ." And for years, the whole church was very foolish. Because Jesus said, "Many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.'" Who was talking? Was Jesus. Many will come in the name of Jesus saying that Jesus is the Christ. But the reason why they will be saying Jesus is the Christ is so that they will deceive. Let me help you identify the spirit of error. Most times I do with ministers of the gospel when I have opportunities to do ministers trainings. Let's identify the spirit of error. Excuse me. What did Satan say to Eve that was not true? What did Satan say to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 that was not true? Show me. Can a bold Bible student stand up and say to me the words that Satan said to Eve? Just give me the words. I'm not saying tell me whether it's true or false. Has God said you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Then she answered him, gave him the correct answer. No, we may eat of all the trees in the garden, but the tree that is in the center of the garden, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then Satan laughed. He said, God knows that when you eat this tree, you shall be like God, knowing good from evil. Later on, God himself said, the man has become like one of us, knowing. So what did Satan say to Eve that is a lie? No, talk to me. That means everything Satan said to Eve was true. And Eve saw the result exactly the way Satan said she was going to see it. It then means that when you are looking for the workings of deception, you don't wait to hear a lie, you discern the spirit. So Jesus said they will come saying, I am the Christ, which is true. He didn't say they will say they are Christ. He said they will come saying, I am the Christ. One day he got up and said, woe to you Pharisees. He said, you travel beyond land and sea to get one combat. And when you bring him, you make him twice as much the child of the devil. It then means our warfare, it's not even against what we hear and how true it is. It's against the spirit by which it is spoken. For the 3 years that we've been doing church, I got up and a lot of people thought that I was fighting prosperity. Because everywhere you turn to now, everybody wants to tell you how God wants you to prosper. But the spirit that is communicated by it is not the spirit of Christ. It's the spirit of covetousness. Wow. Are you hearing that for the first time? So it sets believers on a chase, on a rat race. It just negates the principle of God. He didn't break the principle. He didn't say anything that was not godly. Are you following? I'm talking to you as worshippers, because understanding this will help you understand that when you stand to sing, you shouldn't do the foolishness of waiting for the response of the people. Because when you wait for the response of the people to judge whether or not you are having a good praise and worship session, somebody may be looking at you like this. And they are thinking, we had some guys like that back then in FCS, in ABU. I hated them when I was leading praise and worship. Do you have some in food? Anything you do, this is how they look at you. You are singing a song, some people are rolling and shouting, they are like this. I told one of my friends one day, Kenny Balogo, I said to him, I said, these guys wear Holy Ghost resistance before they come to church. We tagged some brothers in church. We say, if you want to know whether the Spirit of God is present, don't use these brothers. But amazingly, somebody can be fixed like that. And actually, he's standing in the presence. So the expression you are looking for is not the expression you got. But the result God is looking for, he has gotten. You see, I do this often. Let me try. I need to speed it up a little. I do this often. Even yesterday, I had that kind of conversation with the Holy Ghost sitting here. I sat down. I said, Lord, I don't want to do me. I want to do you. I said, because I can do me and succeed. But I want to do you. Then the Holy Ghost asked me a question. He said, so what if you get up there and what I want is that the place be calm and quiet, and you are singing and you don't seem to find any response. I said to him, I said, if that's what you want, I'd be glad when I return. I said, you know it's going to pain me, but I'll be glad when I return to my seat. Then he said, go, I've given you the atmosphere. So when I came up yesterday, I was not in doubt of the fact that he was going to show up. That's why I had the audacity to do the things I did. If you ever see me teaching and stammering, it means that I'm not sure he came. So I saved myself that trouble. If I'm not sure he's around, I'll not preach at all. We just wait for him. Because you're singers, you need to understand that music was designed, take note, music in its essence, not gospel music, music was designed to break the flesh and bypass the soul. By design. That's the reason why when Lucifer was created, he was created with all kinds of instruments of music in him. It was designed to break down the flesh and bypass the soul. So almost every time you hear music, a spiritual activity is initiated. Are you here? Almost every time you hear music, a spiritual activity is initiated. So when you bypass the soul, even if you are not delivering God, the soul of the people are almost naturally stirred up. There are certain syncopations that if you do, or you do certain vocal pitches, it naturally hits people. But you see, first and foremost, you must understand that we are ministers of the Spirit. If you can minister the Spirit to your people, to the people who hear you, then you have done a good job. Do we have that noted? Now, for you to be able to deliver the Spirit to the people who hear you, you need to travel with God to where He is. This is the principle of God, and I'll say it to you. God brought Abraham to Canaan and didn't give him the land. He told him, I'm going to give it to your children. So that Abraham could speak it ahead of his children. When it was time for God to give the land, he went to Egypt, rose Moses up, brought him to the land, to the places where they were going to encounter God, Sinai, and all of those places, and allowed Moses to hover around that place for 40 years. Then he took him back, brought the people, and they hovered around the place for how long? You didn't talk to me. They hovered around the place for how long? So for every one day they were in the wilderness, Moses had received strength for that day. So if you have to be a worship leader, it means you will have to have gone to that place that you're asking the people to come to. You see, then puts a responsibility on you. The responsibility on you is to be sure every time that you've been able to build up with God such consistency that allows that when you stand up and you say, you could sing a common song, but as you're singing it, everybody knows the Lord is walking in. The reason is because you've made a habit of His presence. And then your voice becomes irresistible to God. One day I went to minister in CTC headquarters. Were you there? Yeah, you were there. Dr. John Akwami is one of the ministers I respect very greatly in Zion. He doesn't father me, but I respect him greatly. I got into the convention and we came in, and you know, like it is the custom with conventions, most times it is the church choir that comes up last before the minister. And I was supposed to minister before the church choir and then the minister, and I came up. And the presence of God came down so strong. Dr. Akwami didn't permit the choir to minister that night. He came up and collected the microphone for me. First, he said, he said, God is here. I wish I was the one ministering tonight. Then he said, we thank God for the gift of Pastor Chinto. Then he made a statement that I can never forget. He said, every time he sings, you are sure the presence will come. It's not a subject of pride for me. It's breaking. Who am I that I can command his presence every time I lift up my voice? No. It doesn't come because I lift up my voice in a certain way. It comes because there's a consistent relationship. God respects relationship. There are certain voices he's more at home with, not because they're as beautiful as other voices. I tell people, I told you at the beginning, I'm not a good singer. I'm not. I don't pitch like many of you do. You know, people said I should not be drinking cold water. I tried it, it wasn't working. So I went back to drinking cold water. Said I should not be eating granite. I tried it, it wasn't working. Popcorn, I tried it, it was not working. Drink egg yolk. I told them till Jesus returns, I will not try. Now, I'm not saying don't devote yourself to those things. Great. Your musical disciplines are very good. But for me, by training, I know that it's not how good my voice is. I've gone for a meeting and I was whispering songs and the presence of God came down. The voice was gone. All I'll do is I'll whisper a song. Then the backup will hear the sound. Then they will know the song I want to sing. Then they will start to sing it. And by the time we're done, his presence was still there. As important as your music, devotion, and training is, his presence is your most treasured possession as a worship leader. Now, how do you build a culture of his presence? As far as I'm concerned, this is the ABC of being a worship leader. We would have been able to advance, but I need to get back to Zaria today. I'm going to have a meeting this evening in Zaria. My wife has warned me to be home before one. I think I have to climb the chariots of Elijah to fulfill that. You know, every man has an ogre. His ogre is in his house. It's not in the office. Praise God. How do I build a culture of his presence? It's important that you know that as a worship leader, your worship is not when you, the 1 hour you get up to do your morning devotion in the day, or the 30 minutes you use singing from your hall to your lecture room, or the 3 hours you use in the evening praying in tongues. No. Your worship is a sum total of your life. Isaiah 66. Let's read one scripture. Please open it for me. I read one scripture in Isaiah 66, and then I'll pray with you. From verse 1. Are you there? Isaiah 66 from verse 1. Let me hear you. The Lord says, heaven is my throne. Listen to that. The earth is my footstool. What kind of house could you build for me? Which kind of place do you want me to live in? I created the whole universe. I'm pleased with those who are humbled, and repentant, who fear and obey me, who do as they please. Okay. What translation is that? New Living Translation. Give me a King James version. Thank you. Thus says the Lord. The heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Hold on. You need to understand that when God says the heaven is my throne, he's saying that's my office. No king lives on his throne. The heaven is my throne. All right? The earth is my footstool. That means that's where I project from. All right? Go ahead. Where's the house that you built to me? Where's the place of my rest? Hold on. That means when I close from work, where am I going to? If you have ever read Genesis chapter 2, you'll find that God had a culture. The Bible says in the cool of the day, God came into the garden. It was signifying something. Are you following me? Please stay with me, all right? It was signifying something. The cool of the day was showing that when God's work was done and Adam's work was done, there was a point where they met. Hello, saints. And when he came, he didn't come to work. He came to rest. Oh. Hello, ma. Some of us, every time we are hiking God, every time we are hustling God, every time we are hitting God, we are hitting him because there is something we want to achieve. Lord, would you anoint me with power? Power, Lord, power. Then the next time you show up, Lord, would you give me the ability to heal the sick? That's all work. And it's great. God said, come, when do we have time, me and you, to hang out? I'm adding an element to your prayer life, right? You know, many times you go into God's presence, you're saying, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, you're just checking it. God's thinking, this guy is hustling me too much. When do we have time to rest? So God says, when all the work is done in the cool of the day, and there is no fellowship that means more to God than the cool of the day fellowship. God is glad when you come in to ask for your rights. I mean, ask for power, ask for grace, ask for mercy, ask for wisdom. When you do all of that, God is glad, but not as glad as when you come to unwind in his presence. I'm going to show you where I'm going to. So God is saying, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. There are two ways you can see it: throne, office, footstool, workplace. The second way you can see it is, imagine how mighty he is. All my girls will say, what a God you are. 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 Imagine how mighty he is. Then he says, I'm looking for a house. So he had to ask you first, what kind of house would you build for me? And show me the place of my rest. Please read on. Let's finish.
For all those things,
has
my hand made.
My hand made them.
And all those things have been, says the Lord.
They have been, says the Lord. Yeah.
But to this man will I look.
Now listen to that. God said, but to this man. God didn't say, but to man will I look. He said, but to. Come on, talk to me. But to this man will I look. Yeah.
Even to him that.
To him who is poor.
And all of the
of the concrete
and of a contrite spirit,
and trembles at my word.
And trembles at my word.
He that kills an ox.
It's okay, thank you. So God is saying, this is my house. This man is my house. This man is my place of rest. The man who is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. It means your highest height of worship, ma, is not when you stand here and you take the mic. The highest height of your worship is how you respond to God and respond to his impulses. You get up in the morning and you stand in front of your wardrobe. And Lord says, no, not the white shirt with black stripes. Wear the purple shirt. How do you respond to that? You're walking on the streets and the Lord speaks a word to you. You respect it. You come to a service and they are speaking the word of God. And as you're hearing the principles, you're making decisions. Lord, if this is what it's going to take, let me say one thing to you, by the way. James 1 said, do not be hearers of the word only, deceiving yourselves. He said, for if any man is a hearer only, he's like a man who looks at himself where? In a mirror. And then turning away, he what? Immediately forgets what manner of man he is. One day I was sitting in church and I told the guys. Now the ladies will relate with this better. Some of the guys have not seen mirrors in like 3 weeks, so. The ladies will relate with this better. The Bible says the guy turning away forgets straightway what he looks like. I said to them, the person's fault was not that he forgot what he looked like. If you have ever used a mirror. The person's fault, ma, was that while he was looking at the mirror, he didn't make the adjustments. Do you still remember how you looked in the mirror in the morning? The reason why you remember is because I called it to your attention. 10 minutes ago, while you were worshiping God, do you remember how you looked in the mirror? Did that make you foolish? Were you still confident 10 minutes ago? The reason was because when you checked the mirror in the morning, everything that was out of place, you fixed it. Sorry, you use powder, right? I'm sure when you poured the powder the first time, it didn't look like what you wanted to see. I'm not embarrassing. I know you're a sister, that's why I'm saying it. Alright? When she poured the powder the first time, it definitely didn't look like. One day I came to the room. My wife was. Then I saw all white. I said, hey, blood of Jesus. Of course, she knew I was joking. Do you understand me? I said, hey, I beg, give me back my wife. I don't like Ojuju. Now, do you think that she would look at herself in the mirror, then drop the mirror, then say, okay, you know, if I rub it like this for 3 minutes, it will be all right. Then she rubs it for 3 minutes and gets up and she walks out and she says, I'm okay. The fault of the man who was looking at the mirror in James chapter 1 was not that he forgot what he looked like. What was his fault? That while he was looking at the mirror, he didn't adjust the things that needed to be adjusted. That's a heart that trembles at the word. So, when I sit down under a ministration or with my Bible for a Bible study, Kai, I'll add one more thing. When I sit down with my Bible for a Bible study and I open my scriptures and the Lord starts to address an aspect of my life, how do I respond? Sometimes if we will be truthful to ourselves, the first thing we do is we give ourselves the reason why we must do what we do. And when we do that, God says, I can't dwell here. He says, no, I need a man who, sitting down with me, when I address it, he makes the adjustment. So when I check the word of God and I realize that something is out of place, before I turn from there, I should stand looking until I'm changed. For as we behold as in a glass the glory of God, we are changed into the image we see from one level of glory to another. The second thing you need to understand as a music minister on that subject is the fact that everyone who approaches a mirror has two figures he sees. There's the man in the mirror and the man in the mind. Now, when I got up this morning and I decided I was going to wear this shirt and this trouser, even though if I had a choice, I wouldn't. But if I had a choice, even maybe I was in Zion, I wouldn't have worn the same thing. It's about the same thing I wore last night. And I was coming for only one session, so I was going to wake up this morning and enter a car and start going. Then they said I should come and talk to you this morning. So they forced me to wear the same thing. When I got up this morning and I was wearing what I was wearing, in my mind, I had a picture of what I was going to look like. Is that correct? So when I stand in front of the mirror, there are two things I'm seeing. I'm seeing the man in the mirror and I'm seeing the man that I'm supposed to look like. So my assignment will be to adjust the man in the mirror to get to the man that I want to look like. Is that correct? So every time you stand in front of a mirror, there are two people you see. You see the man in the mirror and the man in your mind. So if I was going to wear purple eyeshadow, there was something I had in mind to look like. If I show up in front of the mirror and see that I look like a witch, I'm going to do something about it quickly. Is that correct? Come on, is that correct? So this is it for many of us. For many of us, we have not even had a vision yet as to where God is taking us. Something very heartbreaking happened to me yesterday while I sat here. I looked at some of you who sang, and I saw great gifts coming to the body of Christ. I mean it. And then I feared that one day you finish Federal University of Technology, Mina. And the rush that everything in the world gives you will also sweep you. And so you are rushing to get a job like everybody else. You are rushing to attain a standard of life like everybody else. You are rushing to... And God is saying, my training with this minister is not done. And I say, God, I beg. Let me get a job. See all my mates. Some of them started driving cars. I'm still here saying, I want to sing. Sing to your glory. Is that how they used to sing? And then I realized that we get into the rat race because we have not had a picture yet of the man God wants to see. You see, if it is fortified in my heart what God wants to do by me, it's not hard. Let me use my life for you. I'll give you a small part of my story. 300 level, God gave me instructions. Don't leave Zaria. Stay in Zaria. Don't work. Marry after school. That's 2004, 2005. I knew everything that the rat race provided. The rat race will say, when you finish school, you go back home and take some fresh air for like 3 months, and then it will be time for youth service. Don't worry, I'll be out of your face in a few minutes. You wait for 3 months and then youth service. Then after youth service, you start to look for a job. Alright? And then when you get the job, you start to live a normal life. You give birth to children. They grow old. You grow old. You live. You die. And then next set. That's the right place. That's the whole of your life. I just summarized your life for you. And so everybody was saying youth service. God told me, don't go. I finished debut. I finished well. I finished very well. This is 2016 now. How many years is that? 6 years. I've not seen the certificate. I've not gone to ask them, how does ABU certificate look like? I've never collected a statement of result. I knew what the Lord said. Now, don't try what I tried until you know what I knew. You will die. Do you get what I'm saying? My conviction as to where God was taking me to was strong. And because it had become strong, I wasn't going to allow anything take away the picture of the man that God had shown me. God showed me, he said, you're going to be a great minister of the gospel. He told me too many things. And so I sat back in obeying God and I adapted my maps. We finished school with my wife. I started dating her in school. Then we went for introductions. Introduced myself to her father. And then he said, what do you do? He had known me since. He knew that I had just finished school. So he was asking me the question for trouble. I told him, I said, sir, you know I'm a minister of the gospel. That's what I do to live. He said, you mean the stipends that you collect from the gospel? I say, sir, the Lord takes care of his own. 1-2-1-2-1-2, 2007 May, we were married. Brought in my wife. She went for our youth service. You know, all of that. We had our first daughter, 2008. Yeah, Zoe's four. 2008. My children are Zoe and Zion. That's why yesterday when they said, brother, shout Zion. I heard Zion. I was waiting for them to say, sister, shout Zoe. And I, so that I know that they took my children like that. My daughter is away, my son is Zion. You know, gave birth to our children. Now, as at that time, I was assistant pastor in the church where I was. I was not under salary anywhere. I was working for a ministry part time, and they were giving me 5,000 naira monthly. I got married. What would have made me marry at that kind of time? There was a picture God gave me that I was committed to. It was terribly hard sometimes. All of that is story now. It was terribly hard sometimes. But because we had heard clearly where he wanted us to go to, we were not willing for any of the pressures to press us out of God's agenda. I sat back yesterday. I mean, I was deeply impressed. I got up plenty times to dance, lifted up my hands plenty times to worship. And I sat back. Just before I was called up, I started to think. So 5-6 years down the line, when I look for this guy who's singing, when I look for this lady who just did this powerful worship, what would I be hearing? I'd be hearing she has been locked behind a counter in GT Bank. She's signing checks. And at that time, she said, you know, the nature of my work, I can't go for rehearsal. Now, if these two things are the only things I'd leave with you, the attitude of his presence and a commitment to the picture that he has shown you, then you have enough to start. When I do worship leader seminars, ask them. I don't do less than 4 hours, so forgive me. I didn't start. But I think we have picked two major ingredients. When we do worship leader seminar, we talk for at least 4 hours. Then you can go for a break and come back later. Then we continue. But I trust God that maybe we'll come into an arrangement with your leaders, and then we'll sit down and do a worship leader seminar. Then we'll come and die in his presence. Do you understand? All of us will die first. We'll worship and die and roll. Everybody will find where God is. If he's at the end of the hall, you find him there. There's a guy in my church. He's my head of technicals. One day we're worshiping. We're looking for somebody to adjust. We're looking for Ali. Adjust mixer. I was looking for Ali. Ali was under speaker. By the time they got there, he was vibrating under the speaker. I said, hey, Jesus, Lord, please, can you give me a Holy Ghost resistant technical guy so that. But listen to me and listen very well. It's very important you understand that, and I'm not saying create, there are two things. Vision and ambitions are two different things. Ambition is created by you. Vision is given by God. And listen to this. Philippians 1:6 said, he who began a good work is able to complete it. God said to me, he said, I can't complete what you start. I hope you heard what I said. God's scripture says, it is he who began a good work that is faithful to what? So God said to me clearly, he said, Chintok, I can't complete what you started. I am not committed to what you start. Now you're hearing very strange things this morning. Then God said to me, I am not responsible for anything I did not start. Many times believers start things, and when they start to fail, they say, oh God, where are you? Then God is asking you, ah, you, where are you? When he came to the garden, what did he ask Adam? Where are you? Because he was not where God placed him. Visions are given by God. Ambitions are created by some over-elated notion of yourself that you have. So that one guy get up and say, I'm going to be the president of Nigeria. That's pure ambition. But see, a man can go on his knees. Oh God, please permit me another 5 minutes. A man can go on his knees, receive a vision from God, and no matter how long it lasts, it's going to come to pass. I was talking to somebody last night and I showed him. The dreams of Joseph were two. One, they were gathering sheaves. Is that correct? Then his brother's sheaves were standing. His own sheaf was standing. His brother's sheaves went round and bow. Then his brothers got angry. Very foolish brothers. I was studying later and I realized that none of the dreams was interpreted accurately. Follow me. His brothers now got angry. Do you mean that we will come and bow before you? Joseph said, oh. Then he had another dream. Because they hated him for the first one, he had another one. He said he saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars. Then even his father interpreted the dream wrongly. He said, do you mean me, your mother, and your 11 brothers? Excuse me. That thing Jacob said didn't come to pass. Why? Because by the time Joseph was prime minister, his mother had died. Are you here? Now, the dream of the sheaves, listen to me, so that you can know how to get a vision from God. I wish we had time. That's my problem with people from yesterday to today. Time. We do services in my church from 12 noon till 4:35. One day we close 5:45. And when I start to teach, I teach for 2.5 hours. So, right now, I'm really trying, you know. Praise God. 11 sheaves bowing down to his sheep. Listen to me, please. The more you listen, the faster I'll go. 11 sheaves bowing down to his sheep standing. Now, listen to me. Scripture had told us those boys were not farmers. They were shepherds. So, it would have been 11 rams bowing down to my ram. When God showed him sheaves, he was showing him the system he was going to conquer. He was saying it was going to be an agricultural idea that would set you ruling and governing the nations. 12 is the number of government. So God was saying, I'm going to give you an agricultural idea from when Joseph was 17. And when that agricultural idea rises, it will be in the season when all other agricultural ideas are falling. That's the famine. So in every nation, there's going to be a famine. And those systems will bow to the agricultural idea that you have. And then the second dream, God now showed him. He said, okay, let me give you a glimpse of where I'm going to do it. The Pharaoh was considered the son of the sun god. That's the meaning of Pharaoh. Pharaoh means the son of Ra. And the wife of the Pharaoh was always signified by the crescent. Then his governors by stars. So God was saying, I will send you into this governing system as one of the stars. Because he was the 12th star. He said, but even the Pharaoh, the sun god, his wife and the systems he controlled bowed to him. At the end of Joseph's life, God was faithful to every detail. Because he who began, complete. So listen to me. It's important that you stay in God's presence long enough to get a clear picture of where he wants to take you. When you do that now, then you can stay committed to it and say, it might cost me not having food for a while, but Lord, I believe you are the one who has spoken. It might cost me not following my contemporaries to do everything they are going to do. I didn't say don't go for youth service. That's you. This is me. Because your youth service might just be your entrance. I know people whose ministry started from youth service. And I stayed with the Lord until 3 years after I got married. Or 2 years after I got married. Then he said to me, now it's time to leave. And I was blessed, separated. Then I went and started the work. And when we came in, the Lord began to bless and prosper the work. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Now I can say to you almost boldly that there's no state in Nigeria. There's hardly a state in Nigeria that have not stood upon big platforms to speak the word of God. When I stand there, I don't stand as a big minister. I stand as a broken and a contrite man. Because the day I lose that position, God loses his resting place. God told me, he said, don't ever grow big for me. So the same way I used to lie down in meetings back then, I can still enter your meeting now. And when you are worshiping, I will say, okay, let them finish and give road to the man of God. Then I sit down and bone and be doing like I'm praying the Holy Ghost. So that you know I'm the man of God. And sometimes we pray in the spirit to keep our spirit alive. No problems with that. But when the Oga shows up, even if he's the smallest child in the hall that is bringing him, all of us must honor the Oga, not the child. So when I stood up to worship yesterday, it was the Lord I got up to honor. When I danced when you were singing yesterday, it was the Lord I got up to honor. I don't want to ever become too big for him. And you don't become. Don't ever become too big for him. If you can keep that position of heart, I tell you the truth by God, grace keeps multiplying for you until one day you stand and speak and you would hear that your voice had become the voice of God. So that as you speak, people will be able to hear God clearly. And I pray for you today. I ask that the Lord, who has caused me to come in this season, will take you up and take up the desire of your heart as established by His Spirit. And when He begins with you, He will show you pathways. He will teach you disciplines. He will plant your feet solidly. And he'll cause that every time he wants his presence to come, he will depend on you. And I bless the things that the Lord has committed to you to do. I call them blessed today. And I ask that when you rise from here, you'll rise to find that the blessing of the Lord had gone ahead of you. Lord, we bless you. We give you praise. Our hearts confidently rest in you, knowing that it is you who is working in us. Both to will and to do of your good pleasure. You began a good work here. You began a good work in these lives. You began a good work in FUT Mina. And I ask that you perfect it. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right, in 1 minute, I want you to begin to bless and pray for the minister as ministered unto you. I believe you have been blessed. If you have been blessed, say, Lord, let him be refilled. He that watereth shall be watered.
Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we've all been blessed this morning, beginning from yesterday. On behalf of the MDs and secretary, I'd like to use this opportunity to appreciate each and every one of us for our efforts for King Scott. King Scott was a huge success. I want you to just put your hands together for God. Hallelujah. Amen. It was a huge success. I want to appreciate everybody for your efforts, for all the rehearsals, for all the vigils, for all the GK and Boso trip, and all of that, for the sisters that went to cook yesterday. The food was wonderful. God bless you. For the brothers that came to arrange sound and everything, everybody that was involved. For those of you that prayed, I know a lot of people prayed and prayed, really prayed for King Scott. I really want to appreciate each and every one of us. God sees your heart. God sees your labor of love. And we know from scriptures that God owes no man. And so definitely God will reward every single effort you've put in the name of Jesus.